Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour, a ministry of Mission Go. I'm Brian Albrecht, the President Emeritus and Director of Canada's National Bible Hour. We are thrilled to have you with us today as we embark on a journey to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Canada's National Bible Hour is one of our key ministries dedicated to sharing the transformative and uplifting message of the gospel far and wide. Each week, we provide inspiring teachings, uplifting stories, and heartfelt prayers that connect you with the profound truths of Scripture. Our mission is to spread hope, love, and faith, and we invite you to join us in this vital endeavor as we seek to impact lives across the globe. Thank you for tuning in, and together, let us celebrate the good news of Jesus Christ.
Today, our text is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 51, which says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." What a great encouragement this verse is to all believers. Paul is showing us a mystery that we will not all sleep, but some of us will be instantly changed. Some of us will be on earth when the Lord Jesus comes in the clouds. And at that moment, at that last trump, we will be changed into our resurrection bodies, and we will be in Christ's presence. What a great promise that we have to look forward to. I believe that we may be in the last days. I believe now is the time that we need to do all that we can for the kingdom of God, because the time may be short before the Lord Jesus comes. The Bible tells us to occupy till he comes. Let's occupy.
So wondrously saved from sin, Jesus so sweetly abides within.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless, faultless before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. How firm a foundation. Fear not, I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed, for I am thy God and will still omnipotent hand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is.
Good day. Thank you for joining our Moments from the Mission Field, with interviews and stories about how the Lord's work is reaching out globally through the agency of Mission Go.
Sharing light and love in Curacao, a missionary journey. In the vibrant setting of Curacao, a team of dedicated missionaries from Mission Go is weaving a rich tapestry of faith, love, and community. Their work shines brightest during the Christmas season and the dawn of a new year, reflecting their deep commitment to evangelism and holistic support. Just last December, they brought a group of 69 new believers, fresh from their foundational Bible course, to bustling downtown for a Thursday night shopping event. It was an inspiring scene, witnessing these young Christians eagerly sharing the gospel with excitement and newfound confidence. One woman was so moved by the experience that she shifted her work schedule just to join the team again the following week. During this outreach, they prayed with six individuals who expressed a sincere desire for salvation, an encouraging sign of lives being transformed. Yet, the journey wasn't solely about the triumphant moments. Not all encounters met with openness, some dismissed their message as mere fairy tales. But the missionaries leaned on their testimonies, powerful stories of God's work in their lives. In a serendipitous moment, a simple question about Christmas led them to engage three young men who, despite initial skepticism, opened their hearts to hear about redemption and hope. With joy, the team led them in prayer, inviting them into a relationship with Christ. The mission also recognizes the importance of discipleship. They conducted workshops for the new believers, ensuring that their faith deepens and matures. Additionally, they address holistic needs within their community. Recently, they faced a challenging situation when a church member, Nuris, experienced a severe mental health crisis. Thankfully, Lud, having trained in biblical coaching for mental health, stepped in to support her and her family during this difficult time. He not only assisted with practical needs but also provided emotional and spiritual support, reinforcing the team's commitment to the whole person. Christmas traditions remain pillars of their outreach. This year, they welcomed a small group for their Christmas Eve celebration, including a Chinese couple who, despite the language barrier, engaged joyfully in all activities. The new year was spent in the warmth of community, ensuring that no one felt alone during the festive season. Looking forward, the missionaries are poised to expand their work, planning workshops and potential outreach to places like Bonaire and Aruba. They are fueled by prayers for health, wisdom, and love to guide their efforts. Why should someone consider joining this mission field? The reasons are compelling. Mission Go offers a passionate environment for evangelism, discipleship, and holistic care. It presents opportunities for growth, leadership, and engagement with diverse communities. Individuals can utilize their unique skills to make a genuine impact, experiencing firsthand the joy of witnessing lives transformed by faith. In Curacao, the chance to contribute to God's kingdom while building deep, meaningful connections within a vibrant community awaits those who feel the call to serve. It is here where light and love abound, and where every moment can ignite a spark of hope in the lives of many.
Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour and for your prayer and financial support over these years. This month, we are offering Putting an X Through Anxiety by Louis Giglio. Anxiety is dead, but it's still deadly. Anxiety may be fear over your shoulder, worry by your side, or dread hanging over your life. For many, it's a mighty giant that would like you to believe your life will never be the same again. A giant that traps you in darkness and defeat. But you can live free from anxiety. Knowing firsthand the reality of the battle of anxiety, Pastor Loi Giglio shares practical and spiritual ways to walk in freedom. With encouragement and hope, he unfolds the truth in the paradox that anxiety is dead but still deadly. Namely, there is one whose power has already won the battle. This helpful resource will show you how to put an X through anxiety using the strongest of weapons, the cross of Jesus. Write for your copy to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R707, or in the U.S., Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231.
Walking in sunlight all of my journey, over the mountains, through the deep vale,
Today's message is from Dr. Fred Hartman, and it's a continuation of his printed copies are available upon request.
In our study of some of the prophecies of Isaiah, we have seen several people called the servants of God. Isaiah was a discouraged servant because the Lord told him his people would not accept his message. Israel was the rebellious servant that turned from the Lord to idolatry. Cyrus was called the servant of God because he freed the Jewish people from the Babylonian exile. The Messiah, Jesus, was the suffering servant who was rejected by all and took our sins upon him when he suffered and died on the cross. We have previously looked at this in our study of Isaiah 53. Today I'd like to begin by looking at the last few verses of Isaiah 53, where we learn of the future glory that will be given to this suffering servant, who, by the way, is not Israel, but is Jesus. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him or crush him. He is put into grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge or by the knowledge of him, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. We learn in these last verses of Isaiah 53 about the future glory of the Messiah Jesus. All the suffering and anguish Jesus went through as a servant of the Lord were, in the final analysis, the result of God's will. It was God's will to crush him and to afflict him with grief, because he made the sacrificial offering for the sins of every person who has ever lived or who will ever live on the earth. He shall see his seed. It does not refer to the physical seed of Jesus, for he had no children. It is referring to his spiritual seed, those who will trust him as their Savior. Prolong his days is referring to the fact that after he had paid the price for our sins by his death on Calvary, he was raised from the dead and lives eternally. We also see here that he shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. The servant Messiah Jesus will look back on the suffering, pain, and sorrow he went through for us and will finally be pleased with the results of his sacrifice. Not only did he provide salvation for the Jews, but this message of the cross and salvation will have reached to the ends of the earth. In chapter 53 of Isaiah, messianic prophecy reached its majestic peak. The great commentator, Delitzsch, puts it this way: the servant of Jehovah goes through shame to glory, and through death to life. He conquers when he yields. He rules after being enslaved. He lives after he has died. He completes his work after he himself has been apparently cut off. His glory streams upon this dark ground of the deepest humiliation. We can only add that apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, it would be impossible to understand this majestic chapter in Isaiah, and it would forever be a dark mystery without solution. However, in the light of his life, it has become the brightest star of the Hebrew prophecy, the star of hope and salvation for all men. Prior to Isaiah 53, the prophet had been prophetically speaking about God restoring Israel following the Babylonian captivity, and then looked ahead to a day of final restoration as well. As we move on to chapter 54, we find the prophet resuming his message about a day when Israel will finally be redeemed once and for all. Because of this restoration to God's favor, the chapter begins with a triumphant song of Zion that will have been restored to God's favor. Sing, O barren, you who have not borne. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not travailed with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, and let them stretch out the curtains of your habitations. Do not spare, lengthen your cords, and strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants shall inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. During the Babylonian captivity, Israel was like a rejected wife. She was barren, desolate, in spirit, and apparently a hopeless situation. She felt the Lord had forgotten her. Now that the Lord is going to once again look on her with favor, she is to break forth into a song of joy. There's a promise here that those exiles returning from Babylon would produce more children and that the nation would have a larger population than she ever had. She would not only rebuild the cities that had been desolate, but spread out with new towns from right to left. I'm convinced there's a dual prophecy here. One part that was fulfilled after the return from the captivity, and one that is being fulfilled before our very eyes today. Mark Twain paid a visit to the Holy Land in the mid-1800s. He wrote that he saw nothing but desolation, sand, and a few shepherds tending their flocks. When I was born, there were only 30,000 Jews living in the land. Today, there are nearly 8 million Jewish people living in Israel, which is over half of the Jewish population of the world. Their cities are very modern and beautiful. They are leaders of the world in science, technology, medicine, and agriculture. Over the last 45 years, I've been privileged to visit this land 16 times and have seen this development with my own eyes. May I remind you that God has promised that a day would come when he would bring the Jewish people back into their land. We also know that it will involve the end times. Let me show you what God has promised by reading a lengthy passage from Ezekiel 36, beginning with verse 8. But you, O mountains of Israel, you shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people Israel, for they are about to come. For indeed I am for you, and I will turn to you, and you shall be tilled and sown. I will multiply men upon you, all the house of Israel, all of it, and the cities shall be inhabited and the ruins rebuilt. I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and bear young. I will make you inhabited as in former times and do better for you, catch that, and do better for you than at your beginning. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Yes, I will cause men to walk on you, my people Israel. They shall take possession of you, and you shall be their inheritance. No more shall you bereave them of their children. Thus says the Lord God, because they say to you, you devour men and bereave your nation of children. Therefore, you shall devour men no more, nor bereave your nation any more, says the Lord God. Nor will I let you hear the taunts of the nations any more, nor bear the reproach of the peoples any more, nor shall you cause your nation to stumble any more, says the Lord God. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwell in their own land, they defiled it by their own ways and deeds. To me, their way was like the uncleanness of a woman in her customary impurity. Therefore I poured out my fury on them for the blood they had shed on the land, and for their idols which they had defiled it. So I scattered them among the nations, and they were dispersed throughout the countries. I judged them according to their ways and deeds. When they came to the nations, wherever they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said of them, "These are the people of the Lord," and yet they have gone out of his land. But I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations wherever they went. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, "Thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God." In these verses, the Lord makes it very clear that he is not finished with Israel. The prophet shows us that the nation will not just be taken into captivity by one nation, Babylon, but will be scattered abroad throughout the nations of the world. Two reasons are given as to why God punished them. One is because of forsaking him and turning to idolatry. The second, because of other sins they had committed. When God used Cyrus to free them to go back to the land, they did prosper for a time, but not anywhere nearly like our passage promises. Furthermore, the scattering of the Jewish people throughout the entire world did not take place until after the Romans conquered Israel in 70 AD. In the late 19th century, something very unusual began to take place. Because of persecution, Jewish people around the world began to think about returning to their own homeland. That small trickle of Jewish people began to swell, until today it is like a river flowing back to the land. What God promised through the prophet Isaiah and Ezekiel is taking place before our very eyes. Now Ezekiel makes it very clear that the Jewish people will return to the land in unbelief. The promises are still there that God is going to do far more for them in the future. In fact, God states that very thing when he says he will do better for them than at their beginning. After the Jewish people are returned to their homeland, God promises to sprinkle clean water upon them. He says that they will no longer have a stony heart, but he will give them a new heart. You might say it will be a kosher heart. It will be a heart that will please God. He concludes by saying that the nation of Israel will finally be his people, and he will be their God. It is at that time God will bless them as never before, for Christ will rule over them and the earth for 1,000 years. The kingdom promises made to Abraham 4,000 years ago will finally be fulfilled. Let me close today by asking you a simple question. How is your heart? Is it like mine was, cold and stony toward God? He is willing to change your heart and give you a new one. First, you must recognize you're a sinner. As a sinner, you deserve all the wrath of God. There is nothing you can do yourself to get rid of this problem. However, God sent his Son to pay the price for sin that you cannot pay. He died for your sins and paid the price in full. If you would trust him as your Savior by asking him to come into your heart, he will forgive your sins, give you a new heart, and grant you eternal life. This decision is yours to make. Don't put it off. Tomorrow may be too late.
King of my soul.
I'm sure the Lord used this message from God's Word to encourage you and to help you grow in your faith. Here at Canada's National Bible Hour, we're always concerned that someone who may be listening has never had a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Scriptures are really clear. They say that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They claim that the wages or the payment for your sin is eternal damnation. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible also teaches that as many as received Christ, unto them gave he the right to become the children of God. If you want to become a member of the family of God, if you want your sins forgiven, you need to receive Jesus Christ in your heart. You can do that by praying a simple prayer and asking him to become part of your life. And if you're sincere in that prayer, he will. The Bible says that, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. That can be something that happens to you today if you just bow your head and ask Jesus to come into your life.
Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour and for your prayer and financial support over these years. This month, we are offering Putting an X Through Anxiety by Louis Giglio. Anxiety is dead, but it's still deadly. Anxiety may be fear over your shoulder, worry by your side, or dread hanging over your life. For many, it's a mighty giant that would like you to believe your life will never be the same again. A giant that traps you in darkness and defeat. But you can live free from anxiety. Knowing firsthand the reality of the battle of anxiety, Pastor Loie Giglio shares practical and spiritual ways to walk in freedom. With encouragement and hope, he unfolds the truth in the paradox that anxiety is dead but still deadly. Namely, there is one whose power has already won the battle. This helpful resource will show you how to put an X through anxiety using the strongest of weapons, the cross of Jesus. Write for your copy to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R77, or in the U.S., Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231.